Blog Talk Radio.
I won't let There's a story of an old sister who would come to church every Sunday. It was pain aching in her body. She would struggle from the back of the church all the way to the front pew, sometimes with tears streaming from her eyes. And one day, one of those young sisters got beside her sister, and she told that old sister, "Sister, if you're in so much pain, why don't you just turn around and just stay home sometime?" That old sister just held her Bible close and said these words.
As I read the stories of old, and I look at old man Joe, she lost everything that he had in just one day. Now can't you see him as he spoke with his wife? And she said, "You ought to curse your God and die." I can imagine with tears in his eyes, I can hear Joe say, "I won't let
the
Though he slay me, I'm still gonna trust the Lord. No sickness, no sorrow, no pain. See, this is what I've learned. You see, when time in life gets hard, that's when you wanna fall down and worship God. So I won't let nothing.
Before I take it back, I'll add more.
What about those Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the king said, "Better bow down before that image"? That day, yeah, yeah. Well, those boys were scared of the fire. Hey, they looked the king dead in the eyes, with no fear. I can hear them say, I won't let nothing turn me around. No weapon formed against me to prosper. See, there's one thing I know. Sometimes we gotta call through the fire, but it's good. No, Jesus will be right there by your side. I'm not gonna let nothing, no. Turn me around, yeah, yeah. Sometimes my road, let it get a little rocky here and there. And every now and then,
good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Morning Words of Encouragement. I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you, and we invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. We also ask that you invite others to join the call as well. Our Morning of Encouragement is a ministry of Central Church of Christ located in Smyrna, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. He will also be presenting our words of encouragement for today. We ask that you all please stop whatever it is you are doing to find yourselves a quiet corner and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Immediately following the words of encouragement, he will close us out with a word of prayer. Brother Bradshaw, you are on the air.
Good morning, everybody, everywhere. Do not put your heater up. Do not hide your overcoats and everything yet, because it is still cold outside. The weather, 31 day, 65 next day, 82 the next day. But we're going to make it through. This is a march, and March is marching on up out of here. March the 29th, 2023. God is still blessing us. But we didn't want to in our prayer call today, remember those who have gone through storms and tornadoes and rain and floods and, you know, all the devastation that's going on around about us that's been hit two or three times. But so we want to continue to remember them. And I just wonder sometime, do you call these areas and check and see if the Church of Christ was hit or see if some families need anything? We just say, oh, it's just so pitiful that Griffin was hit. Did you ever think about calling Griffin Church of Christ to see if maybe some members need, you know, just anybody. Don't have to be members of the church when there's a catastrophe. But I'm just saying over the years, I've just heard of devastation in different places, but we don't respond. We act like it's so far removed from us. Matter of fact, we forget about the very statement that Jesus made when he says, love thy neighbor as thyself. And in the Bible, we had some curious guy who would say, who is our neighbor? They don't have to be next door, either on the left or the right. They don't have to be in front of us. They don't even have to be in our cul-de-sac. And so I'm just asking and sort of throwing out a thought there that when there's devastation and everything, let's don't sit back and wring our hands and say, oh, how bad that was and pitiful that was. Let's spring into action and say, can we take some water or maybe we can, if you got a grill or something like that, maybe you can find an area and take some food and stuff. We just need to be more active in the community, active in people's lives whenever there's some devastation. We're really not. Matter of fact, we're really not with our own people. This morning, I want to talk to you about this idea of Jesus keep me near the cross. I know our focus mainly, 99% of our focus is on the cross because Jesus was on the cross. But have you ever thought about that 1 or 2 or 5% of the people that were beneath the cross, those who were looking up at the cross, those who were down there gambling for his garments, those who were there just as spectators, those who were there who said, I know he was going to get it because he just kept on. Everybody kept telling him, stop healing, stop feeding, stop doing all the miracles that he was doing, but he pushed them too far. I knew he was going to get it. Those were people who were beneath the cross. His mama was beneath the cross. The disciples who had followed him for 3 years were beneath the cross and puzzled. This idea of Jesus hanging on the cross still did not soak in. Many of them thought after Jesus was hanging on the cross that it was time to go back and mend their tents, go back and mend their nets, go back in their fishing profession, turn and go the other way, because all of what they thought is now hanging on the cross. They could not see anything beyond the cross. And most of us today fall in that same category. We can't see things beyond the cross. That's why we're not hanging in there. That's why we give up on the church and we give up on Jesus and we give up on the whole idea of religion, is because we can't see beyond the cross. And we need to. Matter of fact, we have to and we got to. And so when we think about this idea of Jesus keep me near the cross, that's a profound statement, is because there's a lot of deception going on in the church. Matter of fact, most people's misery, I'm going to use that word for just a minute, and then I'm going to change it later on in my comments. But most people's misery are by people in the church, not some stranger on the street, not somebody who's getting ready to rob you or do a drive-by shooting at your house. A lot of pain is being inflicted in the church, the building you go to on Sundays, the people that you meet on Sundays. And that's why it's necessary for us, for Jesus to keep us near the cross so we can stay away from all that devilishness, so that we won't be affected by that, so that the very place where you ought to be able to find peace, contentment, and happiness and everything is in the church. And the only way we can do that is if we stick with Jesus, if we just stay with him, if we can just hang in there. And I'm talking about looking beyond the cross. And when I say looking beyond the cross, is that the Old Testament made us look to the cross. But then in the book of Acts, it made us look back to the cross. And so that's what we do. And so when we talk about Jesus, keep me near the cross, that means keep my attitude, keep me straight, because there's so many splits, there's so many things going on, and people are so unhappy. People are so unhappy in the church. Now, how do I know that? Because this is 2023, and we still see people trying to deceive people. We still see people who are trying to take advantage of people. And even in the church, sometimes there's a power struggle. But let me tell you about a little story here about Jesus before he went to the cross, and about those who would deceive him. In Matthew chapter 26, I want you to read that whole chapter sometime, Matthew chapter 26. And you're going to see some 2023 stuff going on in this particular passage. And it says, it came to pass that when Jesus had finished all of these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days in the feast of the Passover, that the Son of Man is going to be betrayed to be crucified. Then assemble, listen to what I'm trying to say about deceptiveness. And so, then assemble the chief priests, the scribes, the elders, the high priests. All these people were religious people. And you would think that the good deeds and things that Jesus did, that they would probably be on his side. But listen to what I'm saying. The chief priests, the scribe, the elders, the high priest. The Bible says they conferred among themselves how they would take Jesus and kill him. These church people. But they said, but look how the deception is taking place. They tried to seek how they could kill Jesus, but they said, we can't do it now on the Passover because the uproar of the people. So look at the deception in this thing, and this is centered around religion. This is not people out in the world that's trying to take advantage of you. This is people in the church that are trying to take advantage of you. Are you a participant in it yourself? Some congregations, or most congregations I know, got some people in there who know they're wrong. Everybody else know they're wrong, but they try to dismiss it by saying, well, you know, that's how Sally Sue is. No, that ain't how she is. That's why we're there, to correct that, not let this church go through 10 preachers and you still got Sally Sue. I've never understood that. I know the preachers got problems, and I know the situations come up with preachers, but not with 10 of them. Go back and correct Sally Sue, and you'll be able to keep the next preacher for the next 25 years. I guarantee you. If you correct some of those attitudes in the church, if you correct some of them people who just think they got a monopoly on your congregation, and we have people like that, and we got people in the church, we got elders, deacons, and leaders, but then you got this one person who controls that whole situation. If you want to keep the next preacher, do something with Sally Sue and Jesse James. You'll have him for the next 25 years. All 10 preachers that you've had could not have been that bad, I'm telling you. But in this particular passage here, they tried to figure out when they was going to get Jesus and kill him. But they said, we can't do it right now because of the Passover. So they had a little enough sense to do that. But when Jesus was coming to Bethany, he says, there came a woman with him, and this is interesting, there came a woman with him with an alabaster box with precious ointments in it. And she, while Jesus was eating, poured some of this on him. Now, you'll have to really be a religious person to get this right here, but when they poured it on him, the disciples said, listen to what the disciples said. Now, they hadn't done this yet, probably wasn't going to do it, but they brought it up as a suggestion. They said to Jesus, this ointment might have been sold for much, and listen to what you said in verse number 9, and given to the poor. Then the Bible says that Jesus understood it. He said to them, why trouble you this woman? For she had wrought the good work. Then look what he says in verse number 11 that fits number 9, because they weren't going to do it in the first place. They just brought it up as a suggestion. Then Jesus said, for the poor you always have with you, but me you will not always have with you. what was Jesus saying? He started giving them a little a backlash because he said, you wasn't going to give that to the poor in the first place. You just made a suggestion because you put it on my feet. But Jesus said, you got plenty of time and all the time to deal with the poor. He said, because you're going to always have the poor with you. And then so he rebuked them. And then, look here, then in verse number 14, he says, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went into the chief priest. Now remember now, the chief priest trying to figure out how to catch Jesus, how to kill him, how to do whatever they're going to do. But they couldn't figure out no way. Well, now here's the way for them to do it. Judas Iscariot, he said unto them, he said, I will give him to you and I will deliver him to you. He says, how much you going to give me to do that? And the Bible said that they can confer it among themselves. And they said, we'll give you 30 pieces of silver. And then the Bible says in verse number 16, and from that time he sought opportunities to betray Jesus. This is Judas with Jesus among the 12 who was one of the I'm trying to tell you now, church people can be a booker. And then look what it says. Right after this incident where Judas said, I can deliver him to you for 30 pieces of silver, they went right into the Passover, and Jesus said in verse number 21, and he said, when they sat down to eat, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that there shall be one that will betray me. And then as he went on down to explain to them how he will betray them, in verse number 25, Judas, who knew who he was, knew what his action was, Judas said, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said, he didn't just come right out and say it, because the disciples started looking among themselves, wondering if it was Peter, John, or whoever it might be. But look, these are church people. These are church people. And they try to confer to see how they, and that's the reason why next time I talk, we're going to sing the song, or at least repeat the song, Jesus, keep me near the cross, is because you have to be near the cross to keep from doing all of this foolishness that's going on with Judas. Judas and the chief priests and the scribes and the elders and the high priest, all these are church people. If you want to keep your next preacher for the next 25 years, do something with Sally Sue and Jesse J. Father, be with those who have gone through devastation with the floods, with the rains, with the tornadoes, and all those kind of things. Be with those who are in the hospitals and hospice. Be with our own members who we're finding out they're sick. They won't call and tell you nothing, but you just stumble up on it and find out that they're sick. Bless us as we go through this day, and I hope that each one of you on this call will take a second look at your actions in church. Take a second look at your attitude in church, and sing that song, Jesus, keep me near the cross. Have a super duper week.